This morning we are going to go back to our lesson in the 19th chapter of Genesis and finish up the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Our text for the morning is in Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 26. And they read as follows. The text reads as following, beginning with verse 12 of Genesis 19. Then the men said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought him outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Verse 18 says, "Then Lot said to them, 'Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live.' And he said to him, 'See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there.' Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew these cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back at behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody here might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, now, fellas, we're going to have a problem. Did I ever tell you the story about how my son used to sit in my lap in the pulpit? He used to sit right there, and he looked at the pastor and watched him, and he act just like, "No, I'm talking to you. Hello." Yeah, here you go, right here. Yeah. Did I ever tell you the one about my son, how he used to sit in my lap in the pulpit, and he would just sit right there, and he wouldn't move a muscle? He looked at the preacher just like he understood what he was talking about. And he just sat right there. He didn't play with toys. He didn't play with pencils. He didn't write. He listened. And he just, that's what he did. He just sat right there. People couldn't believe it. He said, "I can't believe that boy sitting in the pulpit and not cutting up, not making any noise." I said, "Well, he's sitting right there. You can see him." And so he learned. And you need to learn how to sit still and listen. You know why you need to learn that? Because one day, you're going to have to go to school. And when you go to school, the teacher is going to expect you to sit there and listen while she talks. If you talk while a teacher talks, then you won't learn. Because in order to learn, you have to listen. So now, every little child should be able to sit still for an hour without talking, without playing. Now, I granted you can't sit still all day. But you should be able to just sit right there for an hour. Just look at me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just pretend you do. Nod your head when everybody else nods their head and go along with the program. And be quiet. No playing. Because you will have time to play later if you do right now. But now if you mess up now, you know what happens later. So now, are we straight? We cool? Everything cool? So all right. So now just sit there and listen. Everybody got it? Yes, you. Yeah, yeah. That goes for everybody under 25. Now, if you're over 25, you can go to the bathroom if you want to. But if you're under 25, just sit right there and listen. You're not grown. You get to be at least 25. That take care of any questions. All right, very good. All right. Now, we have had quite a few discussions. I see I was talking for another word. That was for nothing. Just sit right there. You have to just sit there now. You can't play. All right. We have had quite a few discussions about eternal destiny in our question and answer sessions. To deliberate on the eternal destiny of those who do not profess Christianity seems to be an interesting topic to those who do profess Christianity. The questions are asked. Is a person who has never heard of Jesus Christ going to hell? How many times can you commit the same sin and still be saved? Can people who commit suicide repent? It seems that figuring out the eternal destiny of unrepentant individuals is an interesting pastime for Christians. Now, as I studied Genesis 19, 12 through 26 this week, it occurred to me, by the aid of this Holy Spirit, that this passage of Scripture may be a key passage to illuminate us as to the nature of God's ultimate judgment. Sodom is, in the Scripture, the definitive picture of judgment. Let us look at some passages that refer to Sodom. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 16 through 18, Moses is discussing the covenant between Israel and God, describing what will happen should the Israelite decide to break the covenant and worship other gods. I've printed this out in the Contemporary English Version. It's on page 5 of your bulletin, and it reads as follows. When we lived in Egypt, you saw the Egyptians worshiping disgusting idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold. Then as we traveled through the other nations, you saw those people worship other disgusting gods. So make sure that everyone in your tribe remains faithful to the Lord and never starts worshiping gods of other nations. If even one of you worships idols, you will be like the root of a plant that produces bitter, poisonous fruit. You may be an Israelite and know all about the Lord's agreement with us, but he won't bless you if you rebel against him. You may think you can get away with it, but you will cause the rest of Israel to be punished along with you. The Lord will be furious, and instead of forgiving you, he will separate you from the other tribes. Then he will destroy you by piling on you all the curses in God's book, in the book of God's law, and you will be forgotten forever. The Lord will strike your country with diseases and disasters. Your descendants and foreigners from distant countries will see that your land has become a scorching desert of salt and sulfur, where nothing is planted, nothing sprouts, and nothing grows. It will be as lifeless as the land around the cities of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim, after the Lord became angry and destroyed them. People from other nations will ask, why did the Lord destroy this country? Why was he so furious? And they will be given this answer. Our ancestors worshiped the Lord, but after he brought them out of Egypt and made an agreement with them, they rejected the agreement and decided to worship God that had never helped them. The Lord had forbidden Israel to worship these gods, so he became furious and punished the land with all the curses in the book of God's law. Then he pulled up Israel by the roots and tossed them into a foreign country where they still are today. Now, according to this passage in Deuteronomy, those who choose to worship other gods are going to be as Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam, which are the four cities that God destroyed of the five cities on the plain. Now, in Isaiah chapter 1, God calls Israel Sodomites and citizens of Gomorrah because of the insincere sacrifices that Israel is offering to God. Isaiah 1, 10 through 20 on page 6 of your bulletin says this: Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now God calls his people the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, and is telling Israel, in effect, to stop playing church, that is, celebrating the sacraments of the church without regard for the lifestyle changes necessary to live godly lives, and that they should begin living godly lives or consider themselves in line for the punishments of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Jesus uses Sodom and Gomorrah as examples in his discourses concerning Israel. Luke 17, 28 through 32 on page 7 of your bulletin says this: Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetops and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Now, Jesus is letting the Jews know that their judgment will be as abrupt as was the judgment of Sodom, letting those know who believe in him that when the judgment begins, we ought not worry about any of our earthly goods, but only of our relationship with God. Now, because of the brevity of time, I will not go over all the passages in the scripture that talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, but suffice it to say that when Sodom and Gomorrah are mentioned in the scripture, it is to point out examples of judgment. Now, let us examine our text of the morning to get the picture of the judgment scenario. Now, back on page 4, in verses 12 and 13 of Genesis 19, the angels give Lot the opportunity to save anyone in the city who will agree to leave the city. Verses 12 and 13 read as follows: Then the men said to Lot, Have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So the angels give Lot the opportunity to save anyone who will agree to leave the city. Unfortunately, in verse 14, those who are betrothed to Lot's daughters look at the day of judgment as a joke. Verse 14 says, so Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Now, when the judgment day comes, you may find that your witnessing to the sinner is of no effect. The abrupt nature of judgment is designed to separate those who believe in Jesus from those who do not. At the time of the judgment, people will not have time to make up their minds about Jesus, but will need to have their minds already made up. That is the purpose of our preaching today, to give people the facts about the Lord so that they can decide about him now while they have a chance. Moving down to verse 15, the morning comes and the angels tell Lot to get out of Sodom as the destruction is about to begin. 15 says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Now in verse 16, Lot and his family hesitate to leave, although destruction is coming. Because they are so invested in the city of Sodom, the angels actually have to take them out of the city physically to save them. Verse 16 says, and while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hands, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to them, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. Now you would think that Lot and his family would be glad to get away from the destruction of Sodom, but that's not the case. Jesus described their situation in Mark 4:19, which is on page 8 of your bulletin, where he says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Even those who are saved may find it difficult to part from their possessions in this world. We need to maintain perspective about the things that the Lord blesses us to have. The things that we possess in this world, although we consider them blessings from God, may also be the boat anchor that the devil will use to tie us to the ways of this world and cause us to be lost on the day of judgment. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, 31 to 33 on page 8 tells us this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, this passage of Scripture is not prohibiting us from saving for the future or preparing for a rainy day, but is telling us to maintain the proper perspective on the riches of the world. God knows that we need the things that make for living, as he promises to give them to us. But God is warning us to maintain our focus on him and his word rather than on the things that he provides. Let me give you an example. Many of us are old enough to remember the Apollo moon landing missions or to have studied about them in school. Our astronauts flew to the moon and landed on the moon's surface. They used the lunar landing craft to touch down on the moon, and they had a little car in which they traveled around on the moon's surface. Now think about that little car. We saw a replica of it when we went to the Space Museum in Florida. It was probably worth several hundred thousand dollars, but the astronauts left it on the moon. Suppose you had that little car today. You could auction it off on eBay for a lot of money. The money notwithstanding, the astronauts left the car on the moon. Why would they leave such a valuable piece of memorabilia on the moon when they could have tied the car to the command module and towed it back to Earth and sold it? Well, it just so happened that the command module was not equipped to bring that little car back. If they had tied the car to the command module, the car probably would have burned up during reentry, or the car might have made it impossible for them to steer the command module accurately enough to get back to Earth. Bringing the car back was not part of the plan. The car was designed to be used on the moon and left there, not brought back to the Earth. Fortunately, the astronauts were able to maintain their perspective and leave the car on the moon and not try to tow the car back to Earth. The analogy is that we need to maintain perspective about our earthly relationships and possessions and willingly leave them behind when the judgment time comes. Lot and his family were having a tough time leaving their stuff. They went to Sodom as rich people, but had to leave everything that they had behind to be destroyed in Sodom. Their perspective about their possessions was so messed up that the angels had to physically bring them out of Sodom to save their lives. Think about yourself. If Jesus calls you to leave your comfortable lifestyle, are you ready to go with him, or is something holding you back? Do you really want to be saved if it means that you have to leave your big screen TV and your Buick Park Avenue and your computers and all the rest of your stuff? Keep in mind that Lot and his family did not go from Sodom to heaven, but from Sodom to the poorhouse. How much would you dishonor the Lord as Lot did by living in Sodom to keep those things that you have, including your own life? Now, in verse 17 of this passage, the angels brought Lot and his family outside of Sodom to give them the instructions that they would need to pass the test and save their lives. The instructions are simple. Flee to the mountains and don't look back. In verse 18 through 20, Lot argues with the instructions. I can't make it to the mountains because it's too far, says Lot. Let me flee to Zoar. Verse 17 says, so it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said to them, please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Now, fortunately for Lot, I was not one of the angels. I would have told Lot, the first sign of human intelligence is the ability to follow simple instructions. Either make it to the mountains or forget about it. It's up to you. You shouldn't have been in Sodom in the first place. Then you wouldn't be in this trouble. Right now, you could be running instead of talking about it with me. The Lord, however, is more long-suffering and merciful than I am. The Lord agreed to spare Zoar, but told Lot to hurry. Lot and his family took off. And according to verse 23, they made it to Zoar after sunrise. Then the judgment fell on the other four cities of the plain. Verse 21 says, and he said to him, see, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven, out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. Unfortunately, in verse 26, Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. Now, here are the elements of salvation as shown by this story, and I printed them on the bottom of page 8. First of all is the warning by the angels, which is analogous to Jesus' preaching of the gospel. Second of all, the reluctance of Lot to leave, which is analogous to the carnal nature of the saved. Remember the disciples fleeing Jesus in the garden and Peter denying Jesus in the courtyard? 1 Corinthians 3, 1-3 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So now Lot is reluctant to leave even that sinful place of Sodom. But in number three, the angels rescue Lot from the city, which is analogous to Jesus' death on the cross. Four, the angels instruct Lot to flee, which is analogous to the New Testament call to come out from among them and be separate in 2 Corinthians 6:17. So once we are saved, we have a call to change our ways and be separate from the ways of the world. And then number five is Lot's wife looking back, which is analogous to a carnal Christian failing the test. How can you tell if someone is saved? There is going to be a test. We are instructed to believe in Jesus, but we have no way of telling whether or not someone who professes to believe actually does. I believe that in the end, each of us will be tested. We are going to have to do something that will reveal our true feelings about the Lord. On Easter Sunday, I read a description of the martyrdom of the apostles. Except for John, they had to prove that they loved Jesus by dying for him. Their brutal deaths did not save them because they were neither the first nor the last men to die brutally. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross saved them. Jesus even sent them the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen them to pass the test. John, on the other hand, was spared that test, but I believe that there was a different test for John. I don't know specifically what the test for John was, but I think that each of us is going to have to give an account of ourselves in some way. The test may be something as simple as not looking back when we flee destruction. It may be something that brings us anguish, like Jesus' instruction to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, which says, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me.'" Now, it is my position that those of us who are saved will pass the test. This is why we don't know who actually will be saved other than ourselves. We cannot prepare anyone else, but only ourselves to take the test. We can warn one another that the test is coming, just as Lot tried to warn his sons-in-law, but each of us has to prepare ourselves. Each of us has to develop our own perspective. Each of us has to meet Jesus for ourselves. Each of us has to confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, when the test comes, you will find that it is not too difficult for you. The angels will modify the test so that you can pass it, just as they spared Zoar to make it easier for Lot to be saved. The Lord wants you to pass the test and has done everything in his power to make it possible for you to do so. All you have to do is follow the Lord's instructions and don't look back. But you do have to do that. You have to follow the instructions. You can't pass the test by going your own way. You can only pass the test if you do what the Lord says do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for this lesson today. We thank you that that you have given us this word in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, that we might see judgment in action. And help us, Lord, to see the test when it comes. Help us to be in the right frame of mind, to be saved, to be filled with the Spirit, to be obedient to your word when the test comes, so that we will not fail the test. Help us, Lord, that we might get our lives in order and get our minds in shape, so that when that evil day comes and the angels come to destroy the city, that we will be ready to leave it and leave all that we have there and move on to the next level with you. Now, Lord, we pray for all that are in the house today. Give them understanding of this lesson and also give them traveling mercies as they go to and fro this week. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for another chance to come out, another chance to listen to your word, another chance to review our friends and our relatives and our acquaintances' situations. Lord, we know that you know all things and that you rule and super rule in this world and that you have all the cases of all of our friends in your hands. And we ask you this morning that you would meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We know that your perspective is so much higher than ours. And we know that you look down the road and see the end from the beginning. And so we're asking you to move in the lives of these names that we have mentioned today. We're asking you, Lord, that you would just look at their individual situations. Give them the things that they stand in need of. Lord, use your power to change lives and to change lives and to regulate hearts, to put minds in order and to give us the resolve to do those things that we ought to do. And we ask you today, Lord, that you would bless every name that has been called this morning. Just help us, Lord, as we deal with issues of sickness and issues of bad situations and just issues of all types of things, Lord. We just pray that you would heal those that are recovering from surgery, that you would give those who have not had the surgery strength, Lord, that they might not have to have it. We ask you, Lord, that you would look in on our lives as we mature and grow older and keep our bodies in such shape that we might be able to witness for you for just a few more days, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are involved in business situations, and we ask you, Lord, that you would bless in those situations, that when we go to present our products to our customers, Lord, help us, Lord, that our customers might smile on us. Give us the skill that we need to provide them the service that they need to have. And if we're selling dresses, Lord, let the dresses be beautiful and let the suits look very well on the young men, Lord. And we're just praying, Lord, and asking you to go with us in all that we do. If we're working on vehicles, Lord, give us skill and give us strength to do those things that need to be done. If regardless of what we're doing, Lord, we know that you have in your power the ability to give us that which we need. Now, Lord, we pray for each family that's in here, Lord. We know that there are families raising children, and there are families that are helping their older children and families that are helping their younger children. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to help in the way that the children require. Help us to train those younger children in the way that they should go, and help us to support those older children as they are learning and growing and developing. Give them good advice and give them good direction and help them, Lord, to understand your word and your will and your way that they might be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm praying this morning, Lord, that you would give us the wisdom of your word. Help us, Lord, those of us who are looking for ways to fix the problems that we have in our lives, that you would give us a word, Lord, that you would give us a revelation. You would give us an illumination of the scriptures, Lord, that we might be able to know how we should live. And then, Lord, give us the intestinal fortitude and the strength of will to do as you would have us to do, regardless of what the enemy might tell us, regardless of what our feelings might say. But give us the strength, Lord, to follow your instructions, that we might be able to live lives that would be pleasing to you. Just bless all that are in the circle today. Lord, give us traveling mercies. It's been a dangerous week on the highways, and some among us have been injured and even killed on the roadside. But, Lord, we just ask you today that you would give us traveling mercies wherever we go. Stand by us, guide us, and keep your arm of protection around us. Help us to control our vehicles. And we just thank you, Lord, that Paul was able to break down even in the driveway rather than on the road, and we just want to thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we just pray for all that are in the circle today. Give us your mercy, give us your grace, give us all that we stand in need of. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and most of all, We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And thank God and praise God. On the day when the knowledge in each of our hearts of all the things that we have done is laid bare and open, that's going to be an unbearable day, is on the day of judgment for those that do not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. Jesus Christ died that sins might be forgiven, and he gives us this ceremony that we might always remember his role in our lives, that we might always remember our sinfulness. And although we come to church and participate and are growing in grace, we still are faced with our daily sinfulness. But Jesus Christ died that our sins might be forgiven, and has given us this sacrament that we might remember, what he has done for us, and that we might remember to repent and call on him in the day when we recognize the sinfulness of our nature. So remember Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, whatever you do, remember what he tells us in his word. And let us eat and drink together.